to the Discipleship Leaders Podcast. This is Caleb Martin, and I have with me here Jamie Voss and Ryan Brown. We're missing Kelly Means. She wishes she was here, but we'll have to compensate for her not being here, won't we? So you just get to hear more from me, I guess, unfortunately for you. But today we're talking about accountability, and that can bring about a lot of thoughts in your mind. I'm not sure what it does, but could bring a positive or negative. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do accountability, but we want to talk about some helpful resources for you and ways that we've thought about it. One of the principles that I think about just to set the stage is creating a safe place for your group and a trust relationship. I think we talked about that in another podcast, but it is so important because we need to know that every problem that we talk about isn't going to be met with the 10 solutions for why or how to solve your problem. When that's the case, we know that in marriage, oftentimes that's a problem between husbands and wives, but it's also with a group that we need to be free to share so that we can be really heard and understood. And then we can deal with some of the underlying issues, right? James says, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. So with that groundwork, we talk about aspects of accountability. We talk about pursuing holiness, running from sin. Ryan, would you mind just speaking about those aspects a little bit?
Yeah, I think it can be easy maybe to be a little one-sided with our accountability, whether we realize it or not, that we're entirely focused on helping people stop sinning in a certain area, or we're entirely focused on spiritual disciplines. But I think both are important. You think about Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider how to stir one another up towards love and good works. And so there's an encouragement that we have towards one another to pursue holiness and to love the Lord and to love his people. But then you've also got Galatians 6. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we have a kind of a command in the one anothering that both we're helping to encourage one another to grow in Christ-likeness, and part of that growth in Christ-likeness is also fighting against sin. But I think it can be helpful to kind of keep both of those before us, not just leaning entirely into one or the other.
That's really helpful to distinguish between those and also to give us some biblical foundation in that. You talk sometimes about this idea of biblical mandate versus good idea and helping people grow in discipleship. I've heard you talk about it. Maybe some of the leaders haven't read this or heard this. Talk about how that relates to accountability.
Yeah, so that's a concept that I got from Dr. Brian Chappell as he talks about preaching. There's things that the Bible commands us to, and then there's ways that we apply those commands. You might think of it that way. But for example, if you think about helping people learn to pursue holiness by meditating on God's Word, we have a lot of tools to help people meditate. But when we look at the biblical command about the Word of God, the primary command is to meditate. And there's a lot of ways that you can meditate. And we can have a lot of good ideas, whether it's using the praise method that we see in the journey, whether it's like observation, interpretation, application, if you're familiar with that, maybe it's scripture memory. There's so many different ways that are good ideas, but you've got to just think it can be really easy to turn the good idea into a biblical mandate. So it's getting to a point where it's thinking, I didn't spend time with God unless I followed the sixth step of the praise method. It didn't count. But we got to remember, you know, the people of God, when they were given the command to meditate, most people weren't literate yet. And until Gutenberg invented the printing press in 1440, most people weren't necessarily literate who were given a command to meditate on God's word. So it wasn't something that they wrote down or read themselves. It was something that they had to hear and repeat and memorize and say over and over again. So If we narrow down our spiritual disciplines to just something that's incredibly modern, maybe we're missing the bigger picture of what God is calling us to. But that's just one little example. But I think accountability is a place where we can be prone to unintentionally go to a legalistic place that's saying, if I do this, then God will bless me or help me or whatever it is. And so if we keep that biblical mandate and good idea helpfully separated, that can help us lead people in a more grace-centered way, I think.
Yeah, well said. It's like we have the truth exterior, and there's these means for how God might take it from kind of on top of or outside our hearts to a heart conviction, to where we live head, heart, hands, total. Mm-hmm. And that's the meditation is a way and a means how God does that through his spirit. Jamie, we talk about internally amongst our team, offering accountability and forcing accountability. Talk about that idea and distinguish and just what do we mean by that and how that could be helpful?
Yeah, as he talked about accountability, we want people to grow in their relationship with the Lord. We want them to grow more like Jesus. We want them to grow more in love with him. And I have been guilty of forcing what I thought was a good, you need to have this amount of time in the Word. Even scripture memory is a hard one. And to really going and talking to my people, forcing it is me deciding, here's what we're all going to be accountable to. And if they fail, it's almost like, you didn't get that mark, versus asking, really, where do you want to grow in the Lord? What would you like to be held accountable to? What are the areas that you want to grow in? And then coming alongside them once they've decided. So I can't force it. I ask. If people are in our groups, they made a decision. They made a decision to say, I want to grow. And sometimes it's reminding, let's go back to the beginning. What are the areas you want to grow in? And how can I come alongside you? And sometimes it is reminding them, is what you're doing working? You know, and how can I help you get there? And there's a quote, instruments in the Redeemer's hands, and I think it's really good about this. And he says, Paul Tripp says, accountability provides loving structure, guidance, encouragement, and warning to someone who is fully committed to the change God is working in his life. The person who makes accountability work is always the person being held accountable. Accountability is help for those who are committed to change. So it's not about what I want them to be accountable to, but really is what they want to be accountable to.
Just a follow up to that. How do you know someone is committed to change, and what does that look like?
As Jamie was talking, it reminded me of, you know, what's been said at this church for decades is we want something for you, not from you. And so that, yeah, somebody in my group, like, I don't need somebody in my groups that I can feel like a good leader. I want to help people grow in Christ likeness. And if they want that, then that's what this group is for. If they don't want that, then it, you know, they probably wouldn't have joined the group to begin with, kind of like what Jamie said. So I think part of it is the fact that they're in the group and they know what the group is about. But I think there's also times when you just recognize hunger in somebody's life, and it may be in a very particular area. So if I'm meeting with somebody in my group, I often ask the question, is there an area that you want to grow in? And then how can I help? And, you know, the how can I help question is part of accountability, but they might have a very different way of asking for help than I might have proposed, but now they own it. And it might be far, far more helpful because they're owning that than just me coming up with a plan for them to follow.
Yeah, and you're keeping that, I think when you, sometimes we forget that initial conversation, and we can make it about, are they doing their homework or are they fulfilling what they said? We want to assume the best. They want to grow in the Lord. That's why they got in the group. There are often times where we're meeting with someone one-on-one and we realize, oh, they've got a big issue that came up in their life at work that they haven't told the group about. And that's why they're not able to memorize scripture this week or whatever. So you always want to assume the best and get to know what's really going on, what's hindering maybe your walk with the Lord versus what's hindering you from doing what I ask you to do this week in the group. You know, when it becomes about me as the leader, having them do all the checklist versus their relationship with God, that's where it can get kind of demanding accountability versus offering it, the way I think about it.
And that's where the questions we ask in the group matter so much, because it's one thing to ask, did you get your scripture memory? And then checking and see if it's word perfect. It's a completely different thing to ask, how did God change your heart as you were memorizing his word this week? And so that, I mean, that's the point. You know, the goal is to meditate, not to impress the group. And if we're never getting to that level in our accountability, then we're just doing behaviorism.
Right. And even one way I've flipped the scripture memory thing, we're memorizing Psalm 34 this year. We just chose a psalm that we felt like would be helpful for us. And sometimes it's helpful for us to just pick one passage, do the whole thing. So one day, one meeting, I said, hey, what's the meaning of the first 11 verses? Like, what do you think he's trying to communicate? And so it kind of boiled it down to a thought or two. It's where it takes the scripture from, oh, you missed, you were supposed to say thee, but you said a. That's not the point. The point is what is he, how is the word sticking with you? What is God communicating there? What's he saying? So that's a way to kind of flip it to talk about you're getting to the point of the accountability versus, you know, getting what, did you get it right?
And I think then you're inviting them into this relationship. When I share about my quiet time or hear someone else saying, here's how God met me and here's the truth that came alive, it excites everybody else. Oh, I missed out. I didn't spend time with the Lord this week. Or when they see what you saw in scripture, we're kind of inviting them in. We're tasting in front of them and saying, this is really good. And trying to go that angle of really asking questions. How is the Lord, what is the Lord teaching you?
I like how you just used the taste and see. That's Psalm 34. Good pun there. You meant to do that, right?
Look at you with your scripture memory.
Way to go. Wow. Impressive. What does good follow-up look like for you guys in accountability?
Yeah, I think this is where it's also good to remember that and we've been talking in the context of like kind of the pursuing holiness side, but there's also a challenging sin side of this. And you know, there's another way to think about offering versus demanding accountability. Somebody might say they wanna meditate on the word more, and I ask the question, how can I help? But somebody also might say, I think I'm going to leave my wife for this other woman, and I'm not going to say, hey, do you want me to hold you accountable for that? I'm going to say you can't do that because I'm a brother in Christ. And so I've got a command as a fellow follower of Jesus that I can't just stand by and let somebody wreck their whole life and their family. And so there's going to be a different way that you follow up from those two types. So for the one who wants to grow in something, I might help them come up with a plan, maybe for learning to study the Bible. Maybe I'll help them do that, and you know, when and where and how, all those kinds of things. But if somebody is running into sin, we might say, you know, what do we need to avoid? You know, how do we work on the heart level that this desire is there? And that might be a very long-term plan to work through some of those challenges.
I think that is a hard one for women too. We can love well, and how can I see you grow and champion you when we see sin? I think it's hard. It's hard to lead. It's hard to really confront and trying to lean into that. I think about the first person who actually prayed about and confronted some things in my life, and that was 30 years ago, and I still look at it as a gift. It's a gift. And y'all probably heard the truth without love destroys, love without truth deceives, and truth and love develops. And really saying, we want both. I don't want to just love people. Hey, you just keep going down that path. That really is not loving. But how can I have truth and love together to really believe it's going to be for their best?
I love that illustration there. And the way you put that, and truth and love together is good accountability. Any questions you ask kind of as we finish up this to get practical, to do good follow-up? Any tips on how you guys do that?
I like to think about small steps. Sometimes somebody's like, I really want to change this, and they're thinking about the finish line, which might be months down the road. But a question, what does it look like this week to take a first step in that direction? And helping people kind of figure out what a small first movement forward looks like, and help them become incremental instead of a gigantic leap that can feel almost daunting or impossible.
I also think if someone, at the beginning of the year, I always ask, hey, what's two or three things we can hold you accountable to? What are some places you want to grow? But I've been guilty of, then I forget about it. And I might be praying for it occasionally, but if you never bring it up, they're asking you, they're handing you, they're opening their arms saying, please hold me accountable to this. So we can fail them when we really don't bring it up. And so I've had to kind of calendarize just to make sure I regularly come back to, how is that going in that area? And it means a lot to people. It means a lot to me when someone actually comes back, I'm praying for that. How is that going? And so I think sometimes I'm guilty of not bringing it up. So we offer accountability and we continue to offer accountability.
Yeah. Good follow-up is really loving in this area. Well, I just want to remind you guys, this is a lot of these things are a long-term growth areas. Be patient. And also accountability. All of what we've said kind of alludes to this, but must be built on the foundation of the gospel and that we're justified in Christ, made right before the Lord because of Christ. And then we're in the sanctifying process. And so there's a lot of grace in this process as well. So thank you for joining us for this accountability podcast, and look forward to the next one.